Amen. Let's go ahead and get started this morning. Amen. Let the earth hear his voice. Amen. Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That's a Christian life. They'll hear his voice through your life. That's where they're supposed to. Not just what you say, but what you do. Amen. Amen. All right, we're going to skip ahead to lesson number 5. And a foundation. Can't get started without the foundation. And been talking about that in a Christian life. So it's page 11 in the booklet. And it had a memory verse. How many of y'all are doing the memory verse? Now, I can't say that I have. And that's not a good thing. Anybody else do the memory verse? It's good to do. And I find, you know, you parents, if you'll have your kids do Bible verses now while they're young, it'll help them throughout their life, but also it's easier for them to remember. I remember ones that I learned in Awana and all that stuff, and I don't have to go over them like I do the ones I've learned later in life. I'll forget them. But the ones I learned when I was young, they're there. And it'll help you. There are things that I know in my life. I don't know whether I'm supposed to have this on, but that because of the Word of God, even not thinking of the verse, but it works in you. And that's God. That's what we need. That's where, you know, all the other things in your life, without the Word of God, you will not make it. That's just it. You will not make it as a Christian, young, old, in between, without reading your Bible. Amen. You will not make it. People, you know, I think about some of the talking to some young folks at work and some of the, you know, the music and the choices and the stuff that they do. And I say, are you reading your Bible? Well, I read it yesterday or read a verse here or there or we were in church or whatever. And I said, you're not going to make that's it. And so when I say something about your music, you look at me strangely and it's like, what's the problem? That's because that's in there filling that void, your feeling and not the Word of God. If you read the Word of God, those things you'll start to see and allow to work in your life to where it'll start to deal with you. You say, well, I prayed and God didn't answer. Would you read your Bible? That's God speaks to you through that. You're waiting for a little magic voice to automatically get it of you need to turn right up here. You need to do this. Yeah. Read your Bible is the answer to prayer getting in there, and God will start dealing with you about something you read and will start dealing with you about what you prayed about. So if you don't read this yet, God didn't answer my prayer. Well, then you ain't reading your Bible. Just the way it is. And so here it's a foundation for Christian living. The Word of God is it. It says, talk about Jesus Christ being the foundation. Well, he's the Word made flesh. He's what you have in front of you to help you to get your answers to do right. So here it has a foundation for Christian living. It says at the beginning, if a person is going to get the full benefit of his salvation, and there is a lot with it, he must learn how to go about it. When we say full benefit, we mean that Jesus wants to do more than just keep you out of hell. That's a true statement. You know, you realize, you say, well, God's blessed me. Well, you realize the children of Israel were in complete open rebellion. And God still didn't let their shoes grow old and their clothes, food and raiment, and he fed them. So if you can be in full rebellion and still get your clothes and your food and raiment there with be content, and some of us are content to stay there, but that was an open rebellion. God wants to do so much more, but they stopped them. The same thing we do by not obeying, not listening, being doubtful of what God said he's already given you. So here, he doesn't want to just keep you out of hell. He wants to help you with problems of this life. That means you. Because you are the problem of this life. I'm the problem of this life. He says, two, we do not receive the full blessings of God in our lives unless we're doing the things that God desires of us. There are only two ways to live. Live obediently and get the blessings of God, or live disobediently and miss God's blessings. There's no gray area. You know, that's easy when it's this way or this way. Yes or no? I don't need an in-between answer. And then it makes it easy. Kids, hey, don't run out in the street because if a car was coming and they didn't see, don't do that. God doesn't do that with you. He says no. Because guess what? If you look as a little kid and you don't see a car, you think you can now do it. And now you've put a gray area in there. That's why the Bible says train up a child. Not explain. Later on, they can get teaching. They don't understand that. They understand yes and no. We're little children, aren't we? You need to know yes or no. If it's got a little bit of leaven, it leavens the whole what? Lump. And so if you put those things into practice to where, hey, the Bible says sin that it might appear sin, because it don't look like it a lot of times. Or we start saying, well, it's not that bad. Well, that means it's got some in it, if it's not that bad. Well, that wasn't that bad. Oh, that means it's bad. I remember Charlie Tenney one time talked about good, clear West Virginia stream, put it in a bucket, and he said, well, it's a 55-gallon drum. If I spit it, it'd just be a little bit, but would you want to drink at it after I did that? No. Well, 99.9% of it's good, clean water. But you don't want to drink out of it. How about the Lord? Your life, my life. Amen. Compared to each other, we do pretty good. Compared to the Lord, perfect. If you lied, you're 100% over. Yep. One time. That's our comparison. Amen. Amen. So here, a foundation. I wrote a couple of different things in here, but it says in question number one says, how often should a Christian meditate, not sleep, meditate, read and think about on God's word? Let's go to Joshua 1:8. And I might do something since we got started a little bit earlier. And ask even some folks here if you have another verse that would deal with that. Sometimes we just get one verse or get something and you need more than one verse. And God has more than one verse. But in Joshua 1, verse 8, the Bible says, and Joshua speaking, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Now, how often are you supposed to meditate on it? All the time. Now you say, well, pray, but we're supposed to pray without ceasing. How do you do both? You can do it. You can multitask. I read about that. But you can do it. You know, in that, you think about something that you read. If you get up in the morning and you read and you say, God, how do I apply it to my life? What is that saying, and what is it saying? How is this to apply to me and will help me to live better for you? And don't just, if he doesn't say, do this right now, continue to ask him. Deal with him in prayer about, God, how is this? What am I about to do? Help me to make the decision that I'm about ready to make. Here it says, meditate day and night. Why? It has a reason. God doesn't just tell you to do something to do it. He doesn't say dig a ditch and then fill it back in. He asks you to do something, or doesn't ask you. He tells you, commands you to do something. That's another thing we get wrong. We say, well, I don't have to do it. It doesn't say. That's not one of the commandments. Well, God tells you to do it and tells you it's good for him to know it to do good and doeth it not to him and his what? Sin. So if you're not doing what's good, you're what? Sinning. Not good according to who? You or me, but according to God. So if you're not sure what you're supposed to be doing, you could be sinning, right? So you better find out what you're supposed to be doing. Then how do you find that out? From the guy that's got the directions. Not your neighbor, not your lost friend. What do you think I ought to do? Not somebody at school. What do you think I ought to do? How do you think I ought to approach this? We'll do that because it's easy. But as again, we'll go to the person that we think is already going to tell us what we want to hear. That's right. Amen. You won't go to somebody that don't like you and that's told you the truth before. Amen. It's just like a kid. You'll go to mom on certain things and dad on other things. Right. You know where to go because you know the answer you want. You're planning ahead. The Bible says make no provision for the flesh. And you make it. I make it. You plan to do something. You plan to go to work. You set things up. You get ready. You set off. You just sin. It just don't happen. You don't fall into sin. You jump into it. Amen. You and I know that. Yep. We lie. We say, well, oh, they fell. No. No. If they're saved like you and I, they have a Spirit of God that's pleading with them the whole time. That's right. Don't do it. Amen. And they say, no. I want my way. You jump into it. You do it willingly. Yep. We've coddled that too much of saying, well, oh, well, it could be you or the... No.
That's right.
It could be if you choose to do wrong, yes.
Amen.
But you have the Word of God, and you've got all the help you need. God never... You know, the children of Israel, I said it before, but the children of Israel, God didn't make it confusing to follow him. At night, he had a pillar of fire. Right?
Amen.
In the daytime, he had a cloud. Well, in a cloud, if you gave it to them at night, they would be, man, it really, I can't, is that a cloud or is that, what is that? No, he gave them a pillar of fire. One, so they could see so they didn't stumble. And two, in the day, it was a cloud. You know what it says in the children of Israel when Egypt was coming after them? He said to them it was light, but to the Egyptians it was what? Darkness. So this world and the things of this world, and if you're not living right and don't have your heart in God, you know the things of God can be dark to you. But to somebody else, it's light, and you're saying, what in the world? How did they get that out of that? How? I don't understand how they're happy. I don't understand how this happens. If you're following the Lord, it's light. It's guidance in a dark world. God doesn't make you have to guess. We make ourselves have to guess. Here, he says that thou mayest observe to do. You know, God's will in the meditation causes you to do something. Doctrine causes right living. We sometimes say, well, that's a, you know, that's doctrine, that's deep, or that's a... No, doctrine causes right living. Here, it's what you do in... People will buy you where you sell yourself. What you sell yourself as, people are going to buy you that way. If you act a certain way, people know that and they buy you at that. Where you dress a certain way, hey, they're finding out over in Europe. I mean, sad to say, people say, well, that's no excuse. No, it's not. But where things happen like that, they're buying, where they're selling themselves. It's kind of like you dress a certain way, and if it was somebody you liked, you wouldn't mind saying something, do you? But if somebody you don't like, they're a creep. We got a double standard. Because we live it out in our own mind. Not according to this. we leave confusion. And God says he's not the author of it.
Yeah, amen.
Here, to do all that is written therein, for thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. I want to be prosperous in the Lord. And you know what? If I'm prosperous in the Lord, he'll take care of the rest. And he'll do it for you. Hey, I've been able to eat and do good. I'm not smart and all that, but God's taking more, so much better care of me than I ever could.
Amen.
People say, well, man, how do you with this? And man, Lord just opens up doors and stuff that you can't, I can't even pretend it's me.
Amen.
And people work like, how do you do that? How are you able to get that place? How are you able to do it? I didn't. The Lord opened the door and shoved me, smacked me in the head and said, dummy. You know, I mean, and it's just, it's the same thing. When you know it's the Lord, man, that brings so much comfort. You can have peace and you don't have to worry about, man, did I make a stupid decision? Because it wasn't yours. Amen. When you're not the boss, amen. Let's get to, okay, it says verse, or the number two. What does God promise to those who delight in and meditate of the Word of God? Go to Psalms. Be thankful, amen. Psalms chapter, Psalm 1, not chapter, right? 2 and 3. Let's start at verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Hey, that's kind of what I was saying before. Don't get your friend's advice. Unless your friend you're talking about is the Lord.
Amen.
Yes, you can get counsel from other Christians and stuff that go to somebody you think is doing right. Don't go to somebody that, man, is always up and down or problems and say, hey, I want some great spiritual advice. Since it's working so well for you, can you help me out? Misery loves company. Remember that. Amen. Nor standing in the way of sinners. You know your life, if you're not doing right and not obeying God, you are standing in the way of sinners. You know, the closest without being a true Christian is what does the most damage to the church. We always try to say, well, it's this or that or the other. You know, amen. Who did the most to the early church damage to it? Israel. They were close to God with their mouth, but their heart was far from it, did the most damage. They had all the right living and all the stuff. They wasn't Gentile dogs. And they did the most damage. Being close, but not having it. It's like Timothy, hey, denying the power thereof. That does the most damage to church. You and I living wrong in front of, you stand in the way of sinners.
Amen.
You stand in the way of God and you stand in the way of others, believers that are trying to do right.
Yep.
He says, hey, nor sitting in the seat of the scornful. Now, I know that's none of us. We can pray for a minute. And we laugh at that, but we know because there's truth in that. And all of us can do that. You've got everybody's problems figured out, don't you? Don't I? We know how to fix everybody's problem. They just do this and this and this. They could be something. They would be you. And we got enough of that. Of me. Amen. But here, don't sit in the seat of scornful. It'll destroy you. It'll mess with them, but it'll destroy you. Verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate when?
Day and night.
Verse 3, and he shall be like, not he might be or he could be, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, his leaf also not shall not wither, And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That's two places. You want to prosper? We all think about that. You talk to somebody that used to be in church and you ask how their kids were. There's a boy in my Sunday school class. Thank the Lord. He's back in serving the Lord with his family. But I ran into his mom years later and I said, well, hey, how's Wayne doing? Oh, he's doing great. He's got this job. I said, well, is he in church? No. Now, thank the Lord he's back in church and trying to do right. But we always think when you think prosper, you think of somebody's life, how they're living. Well, they got this or they got that, and that's prosperous. No, it's not. Amen. It's like Saul end up hiding among the stuff. And that's, any of us can get caught up in that. But that's not what he's talking about. Let's go to a New Testament place. I wrote down, go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. In verse 12, the Bible says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity. Now, conversation in the Bible, what's that talking about? Your actions. That's why it said in word and in conversation. We think of conversation in the Bible is what you do, your actions, how you live. In charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Man, you got a lot of things to check off there.
Amen.
And they all go together. That's part of what comes from the fruit of the Spirit. Again, it's not, a fruit of the Spirit is what should be in you, not what you have to go to the store and get and check off and say, I need to do this, this, and this. Oh, I need a little more of this. That's supposed to be what it produces, isn't it not?
Mm-hmm.
The Spirit of God produces that fruit. It's not a grocery store list where you go pick up those things.
Yep. Amen.
It's not. We think of that. It should be in you if you're saved. And if it ain't, there's something wrong. Hey, that comes to me too. When I get upset and aggravated at something stupid, that's because I'm stupid. Not because there's a problem with something else, it's me. And that's a spiritual battle, not a physical.
Amen.
We turn physical battles, if you're a saved person, a struggle, a conflict, somebody cutting you off on the road, whatever, that's a spiritual battle.
Yeah.
We do like some other churches with the, what is it, venial and menial.
Yeah.
We separate. Well, this is, you know, I'm really going through this, you know, physical battle. That's a spiritual problem. It's a spiritual battle because you're spiritual.
Amen.
If you're saved.
Yep. Amen.
Don't separate those two. When you separate those two, you start justifying things because you think this has nothing to do with this.
Right.
And it has everything to do with it.
Amen.
And you'll start saying, well, this physical, this confrontation is just because they got a problem.
Yep. Yeah, you.
Yeah, you. But the problem is it's a spiritual problem.
Amen.
God's, hey, whether they're there, it's kind of like when the preacher last time about the being let down. I didn't mention, but you know the guys that let the guy down through the hole in the wall when you get let down, those were the spiritual guys.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord said because of their faith.
Yep.
So sometimes when you get let down or when problems come, that's God trying to provoke you to good works to do something.
Amen.
So when they do something wrong to you and you do something nice back, that's the Lord.
Amen.
And they might be able to see the Lord through that.
Because
they've already heard the Lord. They just ain't seen him.
Yep.
So your conflict and your battle is a spiritual in this Christian life and the foundation. If you don't get these things down, you can know about the wheels in Ezekiel. You can know about Revelation and all the signs, and those are good. But how many of y'all know people that know all that and have no practical living for God? And
Amen.
What good is it?
Amen.
What good is it? But that's not an excuse to not study your Bible.
That's right, amen.
Not to meditate on the Word of God, to find out and ask God. That continual prayer, there's a lot of things. I remember Eddie White preached about his son, asked him all his questions. He said, why do you ask me so many questions? And his little boy looked up and says, because me don't know. That's me and the Lord. I got to continue to ask him because I don't know a lot of stuff. And I want to know. I want to know to do right.
Yeah.
Verse 13, Lord said, or Paul speaks, he says, till I come, give attendance to what?
Reading,
to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee. Hey, you all got a gift. If you're saved, you got a gift of God, Jesus Christ, to you personally. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee here by the prophecy, with the laying on the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Hey, wouldn't you like somebody else to see something in your life?
Yeah, amen.
Just like you look at things of people and you say, man, I really appreciate that. I really like that. Wouldn't you like that for the Lord and then just say it's the Lord? It's the Lord. Hey, let me tell you why I'm that way. Hey, let me tell you why this happened. I wasn't always this way. It's the Lord. Verse 16, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. You save yourself a lot of trouble in one way. And you'll save others from trouble. One, hell, if they're not saved, you can give them the gospel. They'll be more ready to take it from somebody that they can see something in.
Yeah.
Go to Psalm 19, another dealing with meditation. Hey, how often, that answer that question in verse 1, Christian meditate? Day and night. What was the promise of those delight in meditating the Word of God? Huh? Fruitful and prosperous. Go to Psalm 19. These are other things you can add down, other verses if you want to write down to some of this. Psalm 19, all of it's good, but verse 14, the Bible says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Hey, you got your heart needs to meditate, and then you need to say, Lord, is that acceptable to you? Is that acceptable to you, not to somebody else that I meet my standard for the week? God, is that acceptable to you? We got some reasonable service there in the New Testament. But here, God, is it acceptable to you? Do you ask God when you do something or you think about something, God, is that acceptable to you? Is that right? God, do I need to do something else? Or do we say, hey, I think that's a pretty good job. I did a good job. I'm done. We finish it. We end up just dropping it off and saying, hey, I did enough. I did a little more than they did. That's okay. Hey, they're not here. I'm doing this, so I'm just going to do it however I want to do it. No, God, is that acceptable to you? God, did I meet what you wanted? That's meditating. Is my heart, Lord. Meditation of my heart, is it acceptable to you? Or do I need to do it more? Do I need to do it in a different way? Those are things that God will help you with if you're willing to learn from Him. All right. It says here next, Psalm 119. It says we have the longest chapter in the Bible. This chapter is almost totally devoted to teaching concerning the Word of God and the blessings received from it. Turn to Psalm 119 and use the verses noted in parentheses. Answer these questions. So let's go to Psalm 119. Wow. Yeah. It's going to be a minute. Yes. How can a person cleanse his way of living? Y'all already know how to do that. I mean, here's a verse on it. You know what to do. It's kind of like, you know, at the end of service when you need to get something right. You don't have to wait for the preacher to say, you know, you can come up to the altar now or the music to play. You know what to do. If God's dealing with your heart, you know what to do. You just got to do it.
Yep. Amen.
Here in verse 9, Bible says, wherewithal shall a young man, and I'll, yeah, I mean, that goes to you. You can be a young man today. Cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy thoughts, to thy word. You know how David got out of trouble? Taking heed to the word of God. You know why you get these psalms? Because he went through problems. It didn't make him bitter, it made him better. You know, while I think about that, and I'm just reading through Samuel again, you know, it was Samuel that came and blessed and sanctified all his family, but he wasn't there. He was out in the field while everybody else was at home, enjoying the warmth of the comfort and the fellowship and the friendship, but he was out with the Lord by himself and the sheep. That's where you got to do too. You need to get along with the Lord and find out. And again, be back that and meditate and be acceptable to the Lord. But just get with him. Not everybody else, not all the stuff going on. That's why you need that time of prayer in the Word of God. You get a time where you set aside to read your Bible. Yeah. Here, how can a person cleanse his way? By what? Taking heed. Taking heed. It's pretty simple, isn't it? It's pretty simple. Not all these rules and regulations. Taking heed. I can get that. I can get that. Here, verse 2. How can a Christian keep from sinning? Oh, that's impossible. They can't, right? What does it say? Verse 11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. You want to stop sinning? Whatever you got a problem with, and everybody's got problems. And it is our problem, not God's. But you got a problem with it, get some verses on it. Memorize them. You start having that problem, something, start thinking about it or dwelling on it, start going through them verses, start quoting them verses. Do it out loud. You say, what? People think I'm weird. Good, they think you're weird already. Might as well be for a good reason. Hey, I read out loud. I sit at home. It's annoying, I'm sure, to somebody, my family. But no, I read out loud. I want to hear the Word of God. Amen. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. I want to read it out. I read it out loud. I go into a place. I sit there and I go to the doctor's office, and I'm reading out loud to myself. Okay. They're listening to music and everything else. Too bad.
Amen.
I mean, I don't sit right next to somebody and just read it in their ear. But I'm reading it. I'm trying to keep it, you know. But I need to hear it. I need it.
Amen.
And so here, you want to stop sinning? Hide his word in your heart. What comes in will get out. If it don't go in, ain't nothing to get out but junk. It's already there.
Amen.
You got to get that stuff out. You quit doing something, replace it with something good. Don't just leave the void there. You know, it's like I think about it a lot of times, like our lives and stuff, like a computer and stuff. You know, sometimes you need some defragmenting, but so files go back in place again. But you think about it. What they say in a hard drive, if somebody erases something, tries to hide it, and they don't cover it with something else, guess what? There's still bits and pieces there, and they can find it. You'll do the same. If you don't put something in place of it, you'll find it. It'll come back. It'll start showing up in other programs. That's what it does. It's there. It's in your hard drive. It's corrupted, as they say. Amen. Needs to be sweeped and clean. Now, the government, when they get rid of them, they just crush them. That's what this world will do to yours. That's their only way. God can clean it deeper. Then the stain is gone. Here, verse 11, how can it keep from sinning? How can a Christian keep from sinning? What'd it say?
Hide
his word in your heart. Pretty simple, wasn't it? You know, Christian life, simple life. It is. Because you're simple and I'm simple, and we need it simple. Number three, how can a Christian know what ways are true and which are false? Yeah, that's a big thing right there. You ought to want to go to that. Verse 104. My kids love it when we get to this chapter in devotions. We're going to be here a minute. You get 117 verses, and she get divided up. My dad and them used to do two verses at a time, make sure you was paying attention. So if you divide the chapter up two verses at a time, you couldn't get your verses read and not be thinking about it. So you had to do your two verses and be ready to count ahead. And my brother and I were not smart enough to plan ahead and figure out, well, I cannot pay attention. I got my two verses, and here's the next numbers. So we had to pay attention. Amen. 104. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way.
Amen.
What's a precept? Anyone? I see you wanting to say something. Go ahead.
God's word.
Right, the precept. But what is the? They are words. Anybody else? A precept. Hands up everywhere. I can't hardly. If you don't know what a precept is, how you know what to follow? Honestly, if somebody said, hey, they didn't have a speed limit sign up there and you're flying down the road, so I'm doing a speed limit. Well, what's a speed limit? I don't know. Didn't see one. Huh? God's law. There's precepts throughout all the Bible. You know, there's things in there that are not, hey, I can't light up a Camel cigarette. It doesn't say that. There's not a verse that says that. It's just, y'all, it doesn't make you safe. There's a precept in the Word of God. There are precepts that, hey, you got to read to find out. Dealing with issues, that it's there. But you got to allow God through verses in that Bible to show you and to compare. It's words, but it's also thoughts and intents put through the Word of God in dealing with certain subjects that it covers everything.
Yeah.
They're principles in the Word of God. People say, well, where's the verse for that? Well, that means you ain't been reading your Bible. That means you ain't been reading your Bible. Hey, you read that Bible, it speaks to you. If you'll listen. Not one verse here, and next week we'll read another one, and you say, well, I didn't see it in there. It's because God knows you wasn't looking for it. He'll give you enough to wreck yourself. You know, the Lord says, hey, if I send the sword, you know, and even deal with Saul, it was an evil spirit sent from who? The Lord. He got what he wanted. Hey. Rebellion's as a sin of what? That's what he got. He got what he asked for. He wanted it. Pharaoh hardened his heart. And in another place said God hardened his heart. God did harden his heart because that's what he wanted. God give you what you want. You better be careful. You better be careful. Here. How do you know which ways are true and which are right? Through thy precepts. I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Now, I can honestly say I don't. That ain't right. I ought to. There are some ways that I look easier on because I have weakness to that point. It's called a fault. The Bible says confess your faults, not your sin. You know, what do they got in California? They got fault lines. Ain't an earthquake happened, but it's getting ready to happen. And if it does, there's already a weak spot for it to happen. That's your life, mine. You got faults. They're weak spots waiting to erupt. You ought to say, hey, pray for me about this. I got this problem. And if they're honest, they'll say, hey, me too. Pray for me too while you're at it. But that's a fault. It's not your fault and my fault. It's all of our fault. We all got them. Your fault ain't worse than my fault. Well, maybe it is. No. To me, it is. To me, it is. But to God, it ain't. You got problems. And it's weaknesses. How do you get rid of them? Right here. Right here. You can have a fault and not erupt. Why? Because you got the Word of God hidden in your heart. So it don't have to turn to sin. It don't have to blow up.
Amen.
Doesn't have to. It will. It's looking for every opportunity. That again, going back to Romans, make no provision for the flesh. You got a problem with something, stay away from it.
Yep.
Don't even get near it. Don't think about it. Don't dwell on it. Get away from it. Verse number 4, how can a Christian gain greater understanding? We all need this. 130. Man. I think out of everybody in the program, I didn't get the furthest at all. I was failed. My fault was talking. Pray for me. All right, 130. How can a Christian gain greater understanding? If we listen to Jeremiah the other night, we'd be listening to our wife, and we'll have greater understanding. No. That was wrong, I'm just telling you.
Amen.
Hey, listen to your husband. Amen. That's wrong too. You ought to, because God said, but as he listened to the Lord, but y'all have it rough. See, I got to listen to a perfect guy. You don't. You wise? I think in that you're going to have, there's going to be some rewards there that, man, I couldn't. God's always right, so it's easy. I'm not always right. My wife still has to listen to me. Pray for her. Amen. I'm serious. I mean, I joke about that. But I mean, honestly, there ain't no excuse. It's like your kids, they got to listen to you. You know, your kids and that, and being a child in the perfect will of God, they listen to you.
Amen.
That's the easiest thing.
Amen.
But it's rough.
Amen.
But he don't say, hey, you got an excuse because it's rough. Verse 30, the entrance of thy words giveth light. That's what we need, light. We move to the house and man, that hallway, I thought you know where the door is and sometimes you don't. You can see it good and plain with the light, but I'm trying to measure out how many steps I ain't got it down yet and walk into the wall. So, is why? Because there's no light there. And the light, I can see it easy. It's very maneuverable. In my agile youth, I can have no problem. But as it gets dark, it's hard to see. And when it's hard to see, you make what? Mistakes. Even places you're familiar with.
Amen.
You know, Peter, he'd been fishing in that water where he went down in a familiar area. When he sank in that water. It's for familiar places that get you in the most trouble. Like they say, most accidents occur within 5 miles of the house because you let your guard down. You're easy. You're home. And you ain't home. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. It all comes back to the word of God, and if you'll just be simple. Don't complicate things. Word of God is easy, and it's easy to help you and me to live right. If you obey it, and I'll obey it, and it's not some things that doctrines that you don't know, it's the things that you do know. If you'll carry them forward, you'll be a benefit to you and everyone else around you. But most importantly, you'll be it to the Lord, whom we are aiming to please, I hope. How can a Christian gain greater understanding? How can they? Entrance of thy words. That's it. We made it to number four. I'm a slow reader. But if anything I can say to you, new converts, old converts, in between, comes back to this.
Amen.
That is the only way you will make it. It's the only way you'll do right. It's the only way you'll live right. It's by reading it as much as you can, meditating it when you can't be reading it, when you're going down the road, turn the dumb radio off. Put your Bible and talk to the Lord. Say, God, I read this morning. How is this going to help me? God, I read this morning. I don't understand this. I want to do it, but believe it. Believe it. And God will deal with your heart. God will help you. Amen. Let's close. Heavenly Father, God, thank you for your word. Thank you for your goodness and your care for us. And God, not just leaving it to find out our own way and to fend for ourselves. God, I pray that you'd help our church, Lord, and God, our people here, Father, that, God, we would go back over things even we think we know. And God, just apply it to our life, not everybody else's, but our own. And God, to get in your word and meditate on you, God, that we can, God, live better for you. And God, be a light in this dark world. Father, please help us to do right. Thank you for being so good to us and merciful and long-suffering to us. God, I pray that you'd help us be with the service next. God, everything is said and done, being praise and honor and glory to you. And God, would lift you up. And God, would thank you. In Jesus' name I pray, Father, amen.
Amen. Take a 1-minute break and come.